Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast. I'm Boyd Hilton. If I sound slightly different, it's because we're recording in a different studio this week.
In a proper studio.
I know, but...
We're professional.
Yeah, those are the voices of my extraordinary colleagues, Kay Ribeiro and Steph C. Lan.
Hello. Hi.
But yeah, we're in a different studio. We're in a radio studio. We're also missing our guru, producer, editor, legend, John Dan.
No.
Anyway, with luck, this will work. Without him, even without him, he's still going to edit it, but the recording section of it, which is happening today, Monday, and I think it's also going to come out of the podcast a day late due to all of these reasons on a Wednesday rather than...
It's an absolute shambles.
I'm calling it the Big Wednesday Special, because it's, of course, the World Cup semi-finals.
God, what day to be alive?
England versus Croatia. And so if you want the greatest day of all, hopefully you'll be listening to this sometime in the daytime, morning daytime. The Unmissables podcast number 66.
We're the warm-up.
Number 66, Kate.
You're joking.
Relevance, yes.
The World Cup win.
Yeah, you
it's
see?
Not.
It's all deliberate.
It's a complete coincidence. It's a sign.
It's a complete coincidence, yeah.
It's a sign.
Anyway, the actual TV stuff we're reviewing
it's
this
coming
week.
Coming home
stuff. It really is coming home.
Well, it's coming home to ITV on Sunday the 15th of July. It's called Unforgotten. It's the third series of the cold case crime drama starring Sanjeev Bhaskar and Nicola Walker, Steph.
Oh,
interviewed in the current issue of Heat magazine.
Did you interview both of them?
Together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did they get on well?
It was a good
interview,
well. I can confirm.
Thanks, Kay. Then we're reviewing the new Gordon Ramsay vehicle coming up on Channel 4 called Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back. Quite a long and slightly tortuous title.
Yeah, but would you say that to his face?
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, you would not.
Yes,
he's giving it the big talk.
I'm not scared of Ramsay.
He's giving it the big talk in a hermetically sealed box.
You're not scared of Ramsay.
No.
Everyone's scared of him.
No, I'm not. And finally, last but definitely not least, Mark Kermode's Secrets of Cinema, arriving on BBC 4 next Tuesday. Full disclosure, we are friends. I am friends with Mark Kermode. It's one of the great joys of my life. I sat in for him for a period in the film review show on Radio 5 Live a few years ago with my great friend Nigel Floyd. We basically only asked to do it because our names are Ryan Floyd and Boyd.
Yeah,
Floyd is a proper film critic, knows a lot about films, and I'm just me. But we did it for about two and a bit years.
Boyd, you know a couple of things about films.
How
did you first meet Mark Kermode?
I think I first met him because of that, I think, yeah. And I used to do 5 Live every week as well with Simon Mayo. So his show's with Simon. So I did that show with Simon for about 6-7 years. Every week we did book reviews and TV reviews.
Why did you stop doing that?
Because Simon moved on to Radio 2.
Didn't take you with him.
Didn't take me with him, yeah. Now Simon's only show for 5 Live is the legendary film review show with Mark. And now he's on Radio 2 now. Yeah, with Joe Wiley.
Oh.
But there's also another Simon Mayo thing that he does, which I'm going to mention later.
Okay.
No, you're not.
Really? Why?
Because I'm going to do it.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Now, is it the same thing? What are you going to say?
I mean, how many things is Simon Mayo doing?
We're going to get to it. Very soon.
Let's have a Mayo off.
We'll have a Mayo off, yeah. Mm. But anyway, so I'm disclosing the fact that, you know, we're doing Mark's show, but it's a big new TV show about films. So I think it's exciting. I think it's very this podcast.
Oh, yeah. What's not to love?
Yeah. And before all of that, though, in the tradition... Well, of course, Steph's back from holiday as well.
Yeah, thanks.
Welcome back, Steph.
I bet you didn't even notice
you're looking
gone.
Very brown.
We did.
Slash browner.
We did notice you were gone. We missed having the latest update on what true crime shows are on Netflix. So in order to rectify that situation, Stephanie Seelan, what have you been watching this week?
Well, do you know what? You've said that and I'm not going to tell you about any crime shows on Netflix.
What?
Not
Bloody
a single
hell.
One. I've turned my attentions to Amazon Prime.
Yes, I love Amazon Prime.
Wait a minute. Have you abandoned your favourite Netflix for
she'll
Amazon
never
Prime?
Do
its
that
closest rival.
She will never do that, first of all, because she would have to get rid of that tattoo she's got across her chest.
That's true. The only thing that could ever make me abandon Netflix is Titus Welliver.
We did Bosch. Yeah, you love the Bosch.
Bosch. And you know what? I've only ruddy-bloody finished season 4.
We reviewed the first episode of.
Have you finished it?
No.
Oh, so good. So this is season 4 of Bosch. You can watch all of it on Amazon Prime. We previewed the first episode, which was amazing. Such a good series. Some major, major people croak it.
So were you satisfied with the ending?
I'm really satisfied with the ending because it leaves it open for another series.
So Bosch is not dead.
I want.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But come on, Bosch is not going to die, is he?
It would be bold.
It would be bold. It would
be like watching bold to commission further seasons of a show titled after its major character and then kill him.
It would be like killing off James Bond.
But they did it, didn't they, with that Scottish show, didn't they? They killed off Thingy in that Scottish crime drama. Taggart. Didn't they kill off Taggart and carry on doing Taggart?
Did they?
I think so. I may be making up, but I think that's
is
what they did.
Is this fake news?
I'll check it.
Okay.
I think it's real news. Yeah, I think Taggart's dead.
Taggart's fictional.
Okay.
No, that's not laughing matter, sorry.
Okay, it's so very much.
Okay, then also, my dear friend Kara Biro said to me a few months ago, and I believe she mentioned on this podcast, that everyone should watch This Is Us,
yes,
because it was the most amazing show ever. And I believed her because I believe everything that comes out of her beautiful mouth.
Thanks, Steph.
And on Amazon Prime, you can watch the whole of season one. And I think it's something like 23 episodes. It's something. It's a lot.
Listen, whatever it is, it's the best time you'll spend.
It is unbelievable. Can I just tell you, I watched it in 2 days because I couldn't
stop
watching it.
Wow.
It was
You need to be aired, you need to be watered.
But then do you know what I did? Right, so, oh my God, every single episode is a tearjerker, every single one. And if you don't love Sterling K. Brown by the end of this, I don't know who
and
you
also
are.
Sterling K. Brown's birth father.
Oh.
Right? We won't give any spoilers. This is a bit like The Bridge where you can't spoil anything because
people will be furious.
Serious, but season two is running on Channel 4 more
so the
four
amazing
now.
Thing
didn't
is,
we mention this a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, so season two, right. You didn't mention it. Do you know what happened? You mentioned it to us on the WhatsApp. That's not the same as broadcasting to everybody. No.
Are you sure?
We can't have our messages broadcast on the WhatsApp group.
I mean, you do listen to every podcast 10 times, and we definitely didn't mention season two starting on
More 4. I don't think so.
I don't need it.
No.
Well, it is on More 4 currently now.
Yes, so the first episode's now. Have you watched it, Kay?
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, so let's just, we can't give anything away, but the first episode is absolutely brilliant. It's back with a bang. It's back with a bang. Mm. Now, I just want to mention,
Did we say the time of that? I just want to say it's on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock on More 4.
Well done.
Listen,
I'm not concerned with times because I just watch everything on demand.
Real news.
As you well know. Now, one podcast I want to mention is Laurie Metcalf has done, and I know, Boyd, this is one of your favourite podcasts, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin.
Here's the thing. Policymakers, actors, comedians.
A good impression, to
let
be
me
fair.
Just say, after I listened to the Laurie Metcalf one, I also listened to one about somebody who's in charge of New York's sewage system, and that is a policymaker. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just say the policymaking ones aren't as exciting as the showbiz ones, are they?
Well...
Is he a policymaker?
I think it's all interesting. Who?
He's just sorting out the poo.
Oh.
He's making the policy for the sewers.
It's a she, and she's very, very good.
Good.
Anyway, the Laurie Metcalf one, which was done just before. Have you listened to it, Roy?
Yes, of course I have.
Just before. But it was really interesting because she talks about how she started out as an actress and how she wasn't going to be an actress and how they formed that theatre group, which I cannot remember what the name is.
Steppenwolf.
The theatre group. Yeah, but she's fascinating. And she's just so honest. She seems like the most down-to-earth person ever. I loved her. And then, after I listened to that, which is definitely worth a listen, I watched a film called The Wild Wedding. Have you seen that with John Malkovich?
No.
Glenn Close, John Malkovich.
All the greats.
It's fantastic.
Is she in it? Laurie Metcalf?
No, she isn't. But
then
I was thinking the connection is John Malkovich because she started Steppenwolf with John Malkovich, and they were saying, "Oh, who's the person that broke out of John Malkovich?" Right.
Well done for working out that link. Because I was thinking, has she just?
There was a roll on. I felt there was some kind of link.
I thought you'd done a switcheroo. I expect you to understand me, people. That's all I want.
We speak,
fair
Steph.
Enough. Because I was going to say that Laurie Metcalf is also, I think, even better. I mean, the interview with him is great.
Alec Baldwin.
But she did Mark Maron's, she did what, WTF?
Oh, did she?
I would say probably maybe 1 or 2 years ago when she was in Louis C.K.'s series. You know, Louis C.K. also, she's had a very bad luck. She completely got in trouble, you know, in Roseanne's show, which has now been cancelled, as you say. And she did this brilliant Louis C.K. series, which she launched online with no fanfare, which they kind of filmed secretly. And of course, Louis C.K.'s now completely destroyed his career. So yeah, she had pretty bad luck with collaborators. But she's her Mark Maron interview is also spectacular. Interesting, yeah. She's brilliant. She's an absolute hero, yeah.
Well, The Wild Wedding.
The Wild Wedding,
which is on Sky at the moment, is very good. The premise is Glenn Close goes to her ex-husband, John Malkovich's house. They've got 4 kids together. Goes to his gorgeous house to get married to her new partner. And it's all about the intermingling relationships between the family. It's got a mini driver in it randomly, but she's absolutely brilliant. It's I can't give anything away.
So it's new.
I don't know, actually.
It's on what, Netflix?
No. It was on Sky.
Oh, okay. What's it called again?
The Wild Wedding.
Okay.
It's a look-up. Do you know what? Normally, we'd have John to look
up. Well, in the time when we move swiftly from... Have you finished your picks?
Yeah, but can I mention the thing that you told me to watch and then decided we weren't going to watch? Because I did watch it.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No.
Full disclosure, so just to explain, we pick the shows, we're going to have the three big, the meaty shows, the meat, as we call it, section, which we're coming on to soon. Kay, while I was away, picked, I felt, while the cat was away, Kate picked some purely entertaining shows.
Listen.
Shuffling within our rights to do. No, this,
can
take your version in a sec.
Okay, fine.
Please. Okay, go on.
One of them was this Japanese clip show.
Japandemonium.
Part of the reason why I slightly was against doing it is I couldn't access it on my own ITV preview site, I know. But anyway, Kay, what's your version of events?
Okay, my version of events is I didn't really fully investigate what this show was. I was basing it on Friday. We had to make this decision. I was like, right, what can we watch? Because, you know, quite a lot of the time we want to watch really big things, like Suits is out this week. I'd love to watch the first episode of that. Couldn't get the link
in
time.
Have you watched Suits before?
No.
Oh, you need to spend the whole of this week watching the Suits is a mate. Kay, leave now, because you need to catch up with
Don't
that.
Don't leave now.
Because
that.
This is a big series. It has been highly recommended.
No, it's on my list, right?
You're
so I couldn't
it.
Get the link to that in time. I looked at what was available, and this show was. So
Japandemonium.
Like, yeah, so I said, right, we've got to do it. And then,
Fair
yeah,
enough.
Boyd came back, and sense prevailed, and he was like, look, first of all, it's a clip show, and now I've got the link for this, so.
Well...
But you did watch it, go on.
I did watch it, and you say sense prevailed, but I have to say, I found it hilarious.
See?
Japandemonium, and not only that, it is narrated by our good friend Melvin O'Doom.
Oh, Mel!
Yes, of Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bower talent.
But he's great on it. It's really funny. So it is a clip show. It's like a Banzai. Do you remember Banzai?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really funny. One of the clips they show is of a popular TV show called Hole in the Ground. And it's people walking into certain situations and they've made a massive hole in the ground and covered it up like with grass or something, so they don't realise they're going to... It's never gets
old. It sounds
old.
A bit Jeremy Beadle.
They played like six of them. I was like, it's hilarious.
Is that the sequel to Hole in the Wall?
Listen, I don't know. I don't know the franchise. Okay. But the other thing, there was another one on there, which is a man puts pegs on his nose, his nipples, his ear.
No. I don't like
No, wait.
Well, not for me.
Hold on. Wait a minute, right?
No.
Wait a minute.
And close pegs are for the line only.
No, listen, right? And then, okay, so all around his body, and then they attach with strings to a Dalmatian. Right.
No, and then, you're advocating this animal cruelty.
No. And then the Dalmatian just walks off. And he has to try and keep up with the Dalmatian so the clips don't fly off.
This is crazy.
It's really funny. It was very funny.
So that's all on this show. What's it called again?
Japandemonium.
It's on. If you do, we were going to originally review it in the meat section, and I stepped in. And,
it's funny.
It's on. It's on ITV next Saturday. I think 6:30 off the top of my head.
There was also a game in there where two girls were trying to compete to put their heads through cling film.
They could suffocate.
Healthy.
Honestly, it is
Don't
just
try this
madness.
At home.
Don't try it at home. No. But it is just. It's very.
I mean,
very funny.
I feel we don't need to watch it now because.
No, I've given you the highlights. It is funny,
yeah,
though.
Okay, keep an eye out for it. The Wild Wedding, yeah, it's on. It came out last year. I don't think it hardly even had a cinema release. But yeah, Glenn Close, John Malkovich, Patrick Stewart.
Well, I love it whenever I say something and then you always sound really surprised.
I'm just confirming it exists on Sky Cinema HD.
It's good.
Sky Cinema Premiere. It's on the main channel.
It's like a nice Sunday afternoon film.
Good tip.
Yeah.
Right. Are you sure you're finished now?
Are you sure you're done?
Oh, I tell you what, I have been rewatching.
God.
I'm just going to say it.
Kay's about to whack you over the head.
No. But do you know who she is in podcast terms? She's Columbo. Just one more thing.
Yeah. Just one more thing. I have been rewatching all of Louis Theroux, everything that Louis Theroux's ever done, and I am thoroughly enjoying it.
You know, in this section, you don't have to mention every single thing you've done in the week. It's like,
To be fair to Steph, we need to rename it.
Why is it called that then, if you don't?
It could be selective. I'm just saying.
Maybe it should be like,
I don't have
every single thing.
Boyd, I do not have the power of self-edit. Have you not learned this about me?
That's what we rely upon John Dan for.
Yes. Kay!
Hi!
How about you?
Hi, gang. I am well, thank you. And I have been listening to Simon Mayo's Book of the Year podcast. Now, is that what you were going to talk about?
Yeah, of course.
It is brilliant. For anyone who loves books, this is a joy to listen to. It's his new podcast. So as Boyd mentioned, he used to review books on his, is it Radio 2 show or 5?
Yes, both.
With you, I believe.
Well, on Radio 5 for years, we did book reviews every week. We did two books every single week for like 6-7 years. And then when he went to Radio 2 a few years ago, he did his own book club. And he'd do a book a week with his co-presenter. And they'd, carry on.
Oh, anyway, so he's got this new podcast. It's with Matt Williams, who I believe was doing
that's right. Yeah.
And so he gets each, it's fortnightly, and each episode he gets a fiction author and a non-fiction author to come on and just talk about the books they've written and the inspiration behind it, the characters, this, that and the other. And it's just such a lovely chat to listen to, isn't it? It's so warm and interesting. And he's got really good names on it. So the first episode, he had Linda LaPlante and Robbie Williams on.
Ooh.
Which is always, you know, it's always a good having Robbie on for a chat. But also Linda LaPlante was fascinating when she's talking about widows. Which is being now made into a film. And
by Steve McQueen.
Yeah, and she was describing the process of that and how she originally came up with the book. You know, she was originally obviously an actress. And then she was saying how the book got picked up. And then in the second episode, they've got Louis de Bernier and Ben Rhodes. Did you listen to that one?
Not yet.
That one's really good. Okay. So Ben Rhodes is Obama's speechwriter who was in that documentary on Netflix.
We watched. What was that documentary we watched called? The Final Year.
Yes, The Final Year, exactly. So he was Obama's speechwriter and it's about his time in the White House. And it's such a fascinating book by the sounds of it. And it's great. But not only do they review books, they also have this thing, which I really love, because I listen to Radio 2 every morning with Chris Evans, and he runs this competition, 500-word competition, right? And it's for kids. And so Simon May is doing not something similar, but he's saying to teachers and parents out there, if your kid or if you know of a young person who's written something really good and it hasn't been published and, you know, you've got a small excerpt, send it in and then we're going to read it out. And they did in the first episode and it was a really good story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. It was a little story about anxiety, wasn't it?
And yeah, a boy he carries this black balloon around with him and it's always there hovering, you know, just in the background by his head. And it's basically obviously symbolic for the fact that he's quite anxious. Oh. But I couldn't believe it. A 10-year-old had apparently written
those 500-word things are amazing that Chris Evans does.
They're really good.
They read it in front of, while Robbie Williams was there. Yeah. He was audibly moved. It was good.
Yeah, because also he was like, is this about me?
Yeah, it was very much about him.
It was very pertinent.
Yeah, but him talking about the process, because those books, Reveal and Feel, the original one, by Chris Heath, which are, we've mentioned on the show before, of course.
Yeah, we reviewed them.
We went that far.
Yeah.
Well, I reviewed the last one.
But he says how, you know, like it was an eight-year process.
Incredible, yeah.
With his friend, Chris Heath, who's well-known and respected journalist. And he was saying on that note, he was saying like how there's a lot of stuff that, you know, because Robbie has no filter, famously, and will say and do everything. And like, it sounds like his wife, I don't know.
Ada Fields.
It's kind of similar. But there were a lot of times, he said, where Chris would be like, no, literally, we can't put this in. And Robbie just wanted to put everything in. He was like, no, really, we're taking that bit out. So, you know, it was
a bit like Robbie wanted to say everything he'd watched in a week rather than edit it down. Is that what
you're
saying?
Oh my God, you're Robbie Williams.
But it's not, his life isn't just stuff he's watching on Netflix. So he also, like, you know.
Boyd. He likes UFOs.
Yeah. Robbie Williams and I are very similar. Did you know, fun fact, Robbie Williams' daughter is going to be bridesmaid at Princess Eugenie's wedding.
What?
Wow.
That's a great
fact. Good fact. Well done. Good fact. Okay, what else have you been enjoying?
I was going to talk about This Is Us, but I feel like we've covered it off. I want to talk about Good Girls on Netflix.
Are you saying that Steph stole This Is Us from you?
I didn't know she was talking about This Is Us.
That's okay, don't worry, I'm happy.
No, but it's because I watched the first season.
Oh, yeah, fine.
And I hadn't watched it.
And then we discussed the first episode together, it's fine. And I also watched Good Girls, which is on Netflix. Have either of you watched it?
No, I have seen it advertised, though.
So it's got Christina Hendricks in it, Retta, who I didn't know was like, am I saying that right? She's a comedian. And Mae Whitman. And it's a crime comedy drama, and they're three mums living in Detroit. Two of them are sisters. And they're all struggling in some way, financially, emotionally, and they end up kind of plotting together and deciding randomly they're going to do a heist on the local supermarket and rob it, which they do. And everything's like going really well. They like get loads of money. They can't believe their luck. Mm. And then the store manager comes and knocking on one of their doors. And I won't ruin it, but let's just say it's so good. First of all, Christina Hendricks is fantastic, like as the kick-ass mum who basically has been cheated upon, left with loads of bills, and she's just she's strong, empowered, and is really great in that role. But what I love about it is usually when we review these dramas, you know how they can be a bit slow and we're like, they're really good, but they're setting the scene. All of what I've described happens in the first 10 minutes. It rattles along nicely.
How many episodes?
I'm not sure, but it's all on. It's on Netflix.
No, that's all I need to know. If it's all on this, you can enjoy it.
Check it out. Christine Hendricks is great.
Steph, they're asking a question for which Kay was not prepared, but that's fine. What's it called again? That show?
It's called Good Girls. It's on Netflix.
So I'm just literally Good Girls. I'm typing it on my Netflix app. as we speak. This is riveting.
I reckon. I'm going to say 10. 10 episodes.
He's going to win.
Correct.
What, me?
Yeah. 10 episodes.
Listen, she knows Netflix.
We like one. You've done very well, both of you. Is that okay? Yes? No?
I'm
anything else?
I'm absolutely wrapped up, but I just one more question that I'd like to ask. Boyd, what have you been watching?
Well, that's a very good question. Okay. I got back from my holiday.
Oh, you've been on holiday as well. How was your holiday?
It was a delight. It was very relaxing, yeah.
You're very brown too.
You are very brown.
By my standards, yeah. I'm usually quite pale.
I asked Boyd what the best thing about his holiday was, and he said that it was getting a watermelon Lilo.
Watermelon-shaped Lilo, yeah. It was good.
Where did you get that watermelon-shaped? Was it from like a local...
It's on the beachfront store, yeah.
And did they blow it up for you?
Oh, no. You have to blow it up yourself.
No, they don't.
Boyd Hilton does not have to blow up a Lilo.
My friend blew up himself. I didn't blow up.
Oh, I mean, that's a macho thing. You go around the back, they've got cylinders, they blow it up for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you say, can you blow this up for me? And then you get the good air.
Okay.
It's all stuck in a twist.
Always a great tip. Anyway, I got back late last night, on Sunday night, which is Monday today, from my holiday, and I thought I'd crank up the Netflix, and I watched some of the new episodes of... I mentioned it in the previous podcast that was coming up, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the brand new series.
Boyd,
yes.
Can I just say, I went to go and try and watch that over the weekend because I wanted to see the Dave Chappelle one.
Mm.
I could not find it on Netflix. Oh, anyway, I was searching Jerry Seinfeld, I was literally putting in comedians, it would not come up.
I can't believe you lost the word. I was going to ask you about it
today.
It dropped on Friday.
It's very strange. Has it been removed?
I downloaded it to my iPhone.
It was very strange.
Anyway, I had a quick checkup of the... I didn't go because I know you're obsessed with
Dave Chappelle.
I went for Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh!
Yes. Tracy Morgan, of course, had his own very
Tracy
interesting
Morgan.
History from 30 yeah, Rock. Yeah. Alec Baldwin. This is the second.
What?
Yes, this is the second time Alec Baldwin's done it. And I honestly, Baldwin and Seinfeld together are just so brilliantly, hilariously funny, and they just get on. They're like proper, you know, mates. It's amazing. Yeah, Alec Baldwin back,
and
last ever appearance by Jerry Lewis, the legendary TV film. Director, star, comedian, who's famously grouchy. He did a Marc Maron episode. I think I mentioned this last week, but I'm mentioning it again. He did a Marc Maron episode that was almost unusual because he was so horrible to Marc Maron. It's almost unlistenable. But with Jerry, of course, because Jerry goes to see him in Vegas, and Jerry's obviously... I don't think he knew who Marc Maron was. Well, you know, Marc Maron's a young, hip...
Yeah, can I just say something? That's not an excuse for being horrible
to someone. Oh, no, I know. Well, I mean, I think when you're like 98 or whatever, how old he was, you know, you can kind of get... You just...
Yeah, he's crotchety.
He definitely did not give any Fs by the time he
ZFG, zero
Fs. In his latter years. Anyway, but it's really... Those four are amazing. There's eight others. I think there's 12 of them in total, including your mate.
Is the Chappelle
they're
one
all there. They're all there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to watch that tonight.
So that's on the Netflix. And then I'm going to mention a couple of podcasts quickly. Undisclosed. You ever listen to Undisclosed, which is crime? Did you mention the Brendan Dassey special?
Okay. Right, no, but let's just tell people what Undisclosed is. Undisclosed is Rabia Chaudhry, who is a friend of Adnan Syed's family. If you don't know who Adnan Syed is, he is the young boy who is in... Well, he's not a young boy anymore. Was jailed for killing his girlfriend, Haemin Lee, and it was documented in the amazing podcast Serial. So Rabia Chaudhry afterwards launched her own podcast about to continue the story, which was called Undisclosed, and then they took on other cases. Mm. Which is probably what we're going to be talking about.
And they've done a Brendan Dassey special.
Have they? Oh, my God.
So this is, if you want an update on the Making a Murderer situation, so Brendan Dassey was of the two main people featured in Making a Murderer, which changed the face of true crime TV and everything, on Netflix, of course. And they're making season two. They've been making it for like 18 months, maybe 2 years now, following up. So they're both, you know, in jail still, but they've both got new teams working on their cases. And the two defending lawyers, defending poor Brendan Dassey, who's the young guy who's unbelievably... terrible confession, totally coerced out of him
by
the cops. It's still the reason why he's in prison, in jail in America. And, you know, so he went to the Supreme Court, and this was recorded about 2 weeks ago now, I think, roughly off the top of my head. And then a few days later, they got quite bad news, frankly. It's all out there that, you know, the latest version of their ongoing appeal did not approved by the powers that be in America. So
he's still there.
He's still in prison. They got one point they thought he was going to be released the next day. They won an appeal about the confession being, the judge agreed. The judge agreed that the confession was coerced and he was about to actually be released. And then the state insisted on appealing that and the state won that appeal.
I don't understand.
So it's so painful to listen to understand why is the state still, and if they asked that question. So I thought what's brilliant about this one episode, it's about an hour long, is that she asked the two on the phone, the two defending lawyers, what's happened since Making a Murderer, where is it now, you know, what's happening with all these appeals, why is he still in prison, why is the state still pursuing this case? And it's so interesting, all about, and you come away with it no less, as you did at the end of Making a Murderer, or I did, thinking the American justice system is absolutely effed.
That's amazing
access. So it's
But Ravi Chatterjee, whose book is going to really annoy me, I can't remember the name of her book. I read her book and it's absolutely brilliant. I'm going to have to Google that. But if you haven't seen Making a Murderer, because you don't have any idea what we're talking about, Making a Murderer is on Netflix and you should watch it.
And so she asked them, do you know when season two's coming? And they're like, we don't, but we think quite soon. So it's in the sound of it. Sound of it coming quite soon, but we can't. Yeah, we don't know. Hasn't been, Netflix has not announced when it.
No.
And famously, Making Murder arrived Christmas 2 years ago now, I think.
Yeah.
With no fanfare at all, and it became the thing that everyone started talking about that Christmas. And finally, quickly, I listened to The Gateway, as recommended by John Dan in our last podcast.
Oh
yes. This amazing story of Teal Swan, who is this crazy, and I'm using that word, kind of, is it a cult, isn't it a cult, online guru. She's a guru. John Dan explained it very well. If you want, I'm not going to repeat what he said, but basically, it's an investigation by the brilliantly named reporter Jennings Brown. And the whole thing, when you see the beginning, it reminded me of a parody of one of those, of a true crime podcast.
Oh, is it?
No, it's real. It's all absolutely serious, but it's just the way he does it is classic American documentary podcast formula. I'm Jennings Brown. He's a reporter, and he investigates the world of Teal Stug, who has millions and millions of followers online, YouTube channels. She has events where all these people come and they worship her feet. She claims she can see into people. She claims she can sit there, look at you. I'd be looking at you now. She can see the blood running through your veins, everything that's wrong with your body, what you've eaten this morning, whether you're digesting it properly. And she had a very troubled childhood, which, you know, is very interesting. Anyway, it is absolutely riveting. John, of course, is right. So I think it's five episodes. It's also, it's finished now, by the way. I think when he mentioned it, there was still the final episode to go, which is the big interview with her where he confronts her. And it is incredibly riveting. It has flaws with it. You know, like all of these podcasts, I feel they're quite, end up being very repetitive. They have that thing where they recap the previous one, then they have a bit of clips from other shows in the first one, they keep playing throughout it. There's a certain formula to these things that I think this one, in the structure of it, it feels a bit formulaic. And even in the big build up to the big interview, he's talking to the producers, like, I'm a bit scared about it. I'm like, just do the bloody interview, ask her the right questions, it'll all be fine. Anyway, it is incredible. But you're left at the end of it with how do these charlatans make so much money, get so much power, and why do millions and millions of people respect and believe in the nonsense?
People need something to believe
bullshit
in.
They come out with. But it's simultaneously riveting. Entertaining, very entertaining, quite dark, because she does some things that are terrible. Like, you know, people accuse her of not taking suicide seriously, having a terrible, terrible attitude.
Yeah, John was talking about this last week.
John talked about it. Anyway, Teal Swan, do a Google, listen to The Gateway, the actual podcast. You'll fall into a vortex of just inanity.
She's got a good guru name.
Brilliant guru name, brilliant guru voice. The whole thing is incredible. So, yeah, just to back up the John Dan, I think now, officially, it's time to get to the meat, isn't it?
John's going to be furious.
No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's tweets and stuff.
You're not even faking it.
Oh, sorry. I'm tired. I'm jet lagged, even though there's absolutely no time difference between Spain and
England. So that's not true.
It's time for the tweet before the meat. Right. So let's start with. John Dan's not here, but let's start there. And I think it's good that he's not here because otherwise his head would get very big. We've had some fan tweets. So let's start with @JordanLGal, who says, can we just make John Harris a regular? I love his regular podcast recommendations. Now, what I would say to that is, we have asked him regularly to come on.
We have asked him.
We tell him, look, everyone loves your podcast recommendations. They're fantastic. Come on. And then he gets all like...
He's shy.
And that has also been endorsed by former foe, @onhertiptoefeet. Now, if you recall, well, I'll just read out the message, it'll become clear. What a roller coaster for John Harris, sacked 2 weeks ago. Now he's dispensing top quality podcast advice on the Unmissables pod. Now, Mike was the guy who, you know, mentioned about the little error that had occurred and we sacked John Dan because of it and we reinstated him. But I have to say, they're both right, because I listened to Caliphate, which was another podcast recommendation that John made last week. And it is fantastic. I've already recommended it to another person who just texted me just now going, oh my God, it's awesome. It's about the New York Times investigation into the ISIS. And if you haven't, Steph, you would like it. Get into it.
John is so good on the podcast.
He is great. Anyway, so that's a bit of fan tweets for John Dan.
Let's ask him again if he'll do it regularly.
Yeah, we will. Okay, now I've got some apologies to make. Do you want the awkward one first or the embarrassing one?
Ooh.
Just embarrassing.
Mm. Yeah, awkward.
Okay, awkward.
All right. They've both got a theme and it's names. So after last week's pod, we had been talking about Jennings Brown. You and John Dan particularly were talking about it and I thought it was a woman. And then you corrected me. And then I was like, Jennings? And I can't even remember what I said. And I can't even go back and listen to it because I just got this tweet. And it was a sweet tweet or slash sarcastic, I can't tell. And it said, it was from Jennings Brown.
The Jennings Brown.
Yep. He's got a blue tick and everything.
Oh,
and he
no.
went, at K Ribeiro is right, Jennings is a ridiculous name.
Brilliant.
So, I mean, yes, it's not a ludicrous name. It's a lovely name.
Oh.
So I obviously apologised and said, it's a lovely name and I'll name my firstborn Jennings. Right, so now for the just embarrassing one. So this is another name one. So I got a tweet saying, thanks for the shout out on the pod. The attempt at my Twitter handle, just my actual name, made me laugh on the drive to work this morning. Now, if you recall last week, I did a shout out to what I called at Bazilons, because I thought it was a play on Babylons.
Right.
But was in actual fact, Baz Lions. So, I know. When I got that, I was like...
I mean...
Yeah.
And the funny... You do suffer sometimes from word blindness.
Oh my God, I just always get names wrong. And the funny thing is, when I was saying at Bazilons, Boyd looked at me like a bit... Like he was bemused and confused. No, it was literally at Baz, L-Y-N-O-N-S. I just was like... Yeah, I had a moment. So that's two apologies, two name apologies. I'm sorry. All I can say is a apologia. And finally, we've had a tweet from... Oh, God, I don't know who's...
Gertrude Perkins.
It was Gertrude. Yes.
Oh, Gertie Perk.
Gertie Perkins.
And she said, are any of you watching Ackley Bridge? It deserves more attention.
Yes.
Diverse cast, loads of great actors, and deals with loads of important issues. Give it a shout out.
Didn't we review this episode? Or did it, was
no,
that just
no,
me demanding
that we
did? I see, often I get overridden by you two. That's the problem.
No.
Ackley Bridge is great.
Anyone who believes that.
Oh, not
Ackley
true.
Ackley Bridge is really, really good. Yeah.
Whenever I see the adverts, I think it looks really good.
It's fantastic.
The school thing, isn't
it? Yeah, it's pre-Watershed.
Is Jay Joyner still in it?
I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, I think, myself, in my section of the opening. That's my only defence, yeah. And maybe I didn't, but in my head I did.
Well, we're giving it a shout out
it's
now.
It's great, yeah. Channel 4.
Yeah, what channel is it?
Tuesdays, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Or maybe Wednesdays.
Must be very tame.
Yeah, one of the two.
Okay. Great. Well, you'll have to Google that.
I'll give it a Google.
They also move it around because of the football. If it clashes with the football, they will move it.
Oh, everything moves to the football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everything.
She also mentioned, are we going to review Unforgotten Series 3? Yes, Gertie, we bloody well are.
Don't you worry, Gertie.
Now? Yeah? Because
have
you finished
let's do it now.
Tweets?
I've finished tweets.
Is it time for meat?
Yeah, let's get on to the meat.
Unforgotten Series 3. Arrives next Monday on the ITV channel at 9 p.m. It's all fine. The World Cup will be over by then.
Will we be?
It's over on
Sunday. Will football have come home?
It will have done. It might have done.
Be positive.
It's created and written by Chris Lang of Innocent and Dark Heart fame. It stars Nicola Walker and Sanjeev Bhaskar in their roles as detective duo DCI Cassie Stewart and DI Sunny Khan as they investigate another cold case. So these are cold cases. So they dig up some bones, basically, from sometimes decades previously. Then the kind of formula, the rather excellent formula that they've established from Series 1, Series 2, and now Series 3 is they show you this mystery of a discovered body in which the detectives get involved. And at the same time, simultaneously, they introduce these seemingly random characters we meet in their private worlds, in each individual worlds. And you don't know what connection they have, of course, to this mystery. But the reason why we're watching them is because they all do have a connection. And usually like a gaggle of five or six different individuals who we meet and we follow them throughout the series. And then it's up to the detectives to find out which of them did it, if any of them did it. And in this series, you've got a collection of men, they are men, played by Alex Jennings, Kevin McAnally, Neil Morrissey of Line of Duty fame, James Fleet of Vicar of Dibley fame, who's brilliant.
Hugo from the Vicar of Dibley.
Exactly. And they are a close-knit group of old school friends that are all connected somehow to the death. And the death is of this young woman who died on the way to the Millennium Celebrations, which is very interesting.
It's a long time ago.
Now, it seems to me like yesterday.
Really? But,
yeah. Was that an old man?
The millennium seems like yesterday.
We're all going about the millennium bug
and
all
what?
That.
Actually,
oh, yeah, when the airplane's going to drop from the sky and stuff.
Oh, my God, it's 18 years since the millennium. Yeah, that does seem like yesterday.
I mean, I've been 19 years. Let's, you know.
Christ.
Exactly. Everything seems recent to me.
Oh, great. It's taken a depressing tone.
Yeah.
We're all old.
So, and then at the same time, you see bits and pieces. You see a bit more in this series of the home lives also of Nicola Walker and Sanjeev Bhaskar's characters. They're both kind of single, then. They're both, you know, and in different ways looking for... lonely, I think. There's a loneliness to both, particularly her, I think.
It can be a lonely job, though, to be fair.
Anyway, both. I'm a big fan of this show. I think, I'm saying it now, I think Unforgotten is one of the kind of almost slightly unsung great crime dramas because, you know, it's kind of, it's not flashy, it's not like The Bridge, and it's not like self-consciously like stylish or anything. It's kind of nitty-gritty. The detectives don't have weird quirks and, you know, they're not eccentric. They're just good at their job. They're focused. They kind of get on together in a very kind of, you know, unshowy way as well. But I think all of that rings very true, and I think it's the most convincing and realistic. I'm laying it all out now.
Yeah.
And I think this sticks to that. This new episode of the third series does that brilliantly. And apparently it's almost going to be hardly any actual moments where the detectives meet the suspects. So they're kind of pretty much separate, which is very interesting from the point of view of those, the two stars. They don't even see what's going on with all these other stars doing their own stuff until it's all worked out what the hell's going on. Anyway, I think it's a great, great show. Are you a fan, Steph?
As you know, Nicola Walker, in my eyes, can do no wrong. And the only reason I know who Nicola Walker is because I'm completely obsessed with Unforgotten, the first series and the second series. It's, like you say, it's like a slow unravelling. But what is brilliant is you really cannot work out what's going to happen until the last episode. And you're totally right. It's not flashy. It's just a gentle reveal of everything, episode after episode. And it's just the way it is interwoven, the stories together, is just so masterful. Absolutely love it. I think Sanjeev Bhaskar and Nicola Walker together are such a great crime duo. I'm really glad it isn't, because you do get a lot of the flashy things now, and you just don't need it with these two. They're absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I loved it. I think it's going to be another amazing series. If you want to watch series one and two, I believe they're on ITV Hub.
Yeah,
one is too. I tried to watch the second because I haven't seen the second one. I've watched the first one, and you have to. I think you have to pay for it on Sky.
I think they might both be on Netflix. Have I imagined that?
No, one is on Netflix.
One's on Netflix. Okay,
I've watched one. Yeah,
you can definitely get them both on DVOD. DVD, as we call it.
Right. Have you got a copy that you'll lend out to all the pogs, including me?
And a DVD player.
I have got a DVD player. I can't lend the DVD player nor the DVD.
Why?
Because that
Lending
would be ludicrous.
Library.
Okay, I'll lend it to you, Kay, if I've got it somewhere, if I can find it.
And then, Kay, will you lend it out to all the pogs?
Yes, but don't tell Boyd.
Okay, fine.
Ridiculous. Anyway, so you're new to Unforgotten, or you've not
watched... I've watched the first series, I just happened to miss the second one.
No, fine.
But I just love it. I love their relationship. And I love the fact that, as you said, they are just so normal. And it's nothing... Yeah, it's not flashy, but there's small moments. So I've actually seen the second episode because I just...
Oh,
yeah.
I watched it too.
Oh,
and
damn
what
you.
I love, what I
hate
love
being
is,
behind.
It's the dialogue, right? So it's so realistic and just as it would be. So I think they're walking somewhere and she has a turn of phrase or something. And then she explains some anecdote about her mum or dad. And then she's like, I don't know why I just told you that. It's just so, it's what would happen in real life. Yeah. I also like the fact that the portrayal of the police, you know, because often they're quite heavy-handed and whatever, or brusque. But they treat everything very sympathetically and it's the kind side of the police force dealing these cold cases.
Yeah, they're normal people. They're, exactly. And in fact, when I interviewed them, Nicola Walker said how they weren't told to watch, you know, other dramas, particularly things, but they are told, or you know, they like watching the real, you know, the show 24 Hours in Police Custody on Channel 4. You know, they do watch those real observational documentaries about police because that helps them a lot, and you can see it because they don't behave like TV detectives at all.
No,
they behave like
you can imagine
ones.
Meeting them down the local nip.
Yeah, totally.
Also, her voice is very soothing, so I wouldn't mind her delivering any kind of bad news to me because that soft, breathy voice.
Don't you
pauses.
Love? I think she really, like, she underplays everything. It's so good. She's such a brilliant actress.
Oh,
you're
she's
so
the
right
best.
When you say it's totally underrated, this series, because it really is. And actually, it's just, it's perfect. I love it so much. I don't have enough good things to say about it.
Even the little moments where, because she cares about the victims.
That's what I was thinking of.
She expresses that, just a little expression when they find out the horrendous circumstances of these victims, and particularly in this one, there's a moment and you just look on her face
incredibly
of like,
empathetic,
proper, real person. Five stars. It's unanimous, a rare unanimity from us. Unforgotten starts on the ITV channel on Sunday, the 15th of July, after the World Cup final at 9 o'clock. I think I said Monday before, it's Sunday night, after the World Cup final.
Always,
which
please
both
be
channels
accurate.
Will be showing at 4 p.m. This is on at 9 o'clock. Even if there's extra time and penalties, it'll all be over by then. Just saying.
Well, but won't everything push forward then?
No, I've forgotten. There'll be some. So between the end of the World Cup final, there'll be some other gumph they can cut back on. They'll definitely make sure Unforgotten's on at 9 o'clock. Well, don't you worry about that.
Put some filler in the middle.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be filler. Moving on to Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back on Channel 4. Kay, what on earth is this latest vehicle for Gordon Ramsay?
Okay, so Gordon Ramsay goes around the US and he basically hunts down all the restaurants and eateries that are in dire need of help and restoration because they face either a backlash from their customers or they'll close down or whatever. You know, he's a superhero. So he goes around to these places and offers his expertise both in the kitchen and then it's kind of a mix of a lot of shows. So you've got the renovation parts that's a bit like changing rooms. You've got him solving like social, you know, family disputes, a bit like Jeremy Kyle. You've got a Kim and Aggie element of cleaning everything up. It's got everything going on. This first episode, he goes to Conger's in New York and he attempts to save Bella Gianni, which is a family-run Italian business. And he has to deal with a very interesting character called Vinny, to say that he is a hot mess, like he's very emotional, he's aggressive to his staff. He's
toxic masculinity. Throwing that phrase in.
He's losing money hand over fist and he's blaming everyone but himself, but yet he is blaming himself because he oscillates between being really angry and going all red in the face to then weeping and self-flagellating. It's quite awesome to watch.
It is, Steph, as Kay alludes to, a very much a mix of about 8 different previous Gordon Ramsay formulas.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. He's done elements of this in all of his other things. So he always has a little bit of an element of telling them how to sort out their decor, don't they? Mm. But the one thing that remains is he will always, always scream and shout and tell everyone how terrible they are, which is, to be honest, the utter joy of Gordon Ramsay, isn't it?
Sometimes you need to say it.
Yeah.
This episode, this Vinny guy... Oh my, this is going to sound terrible, but after a while it was just so funny because this guy's having such a serious meltdown. But the reason it's sort of funny is because you can't actually quite believe that someone can be this erratic. Like you say, like he's shouting and screaming and then at the same time he's crying and he's wanting to cuddle people and you're like, oh my God, you are an absolute nightmare. So the thing about this is that one of the new elements of this is that he's got this huge truck and he takes everyone around the corner and this... Team Ramsay takes everyone who's in the restaurant around the corner and then he shows them on a massive big screen that pops up all the things that have been wrong with their restaurant that they've been secretly filming,
They had the hidden cameras, but also, crucially, which I didn't mention, is that... And this is a bit like Jeremy Beadle. He gets dressed up as an old, like it's a bit Anson Deck actually.
Yeah.
So he gets dressed as an old man at the beginning, and he walks in as a customer, brings his faux family with him, and then he orders meals
hilarious. Yeah.
It's so entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's so entertaining because he's so relentless, and I do really enjoy that about Gordon Ramsay. He's completely relentless, and he just screams at everyone. And that's why earlier I said, I just don't believe that you're not a little bit scared of Gordon Ramsay. If Gordon Ramsay started shouting and screaming at you...
I think if I was responsible for a kitchen that should have been closed down about 20 years ago, I would be scared of it. But, you know, I'm just a journalist.
Oh, yeah,
I haven't got anything to feel bad about.
My thing with this, though,
I've met him a few times. I've interviewed him a few times. He's always been... He's charming. He's a charmer.
I think he's a joy to interview.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's brilliant.
I think the thing that I would like to see, though, is because I just cannot believe that these people can... bloody keep it together when he's not shouting and screaming at them.
Well, so,
but the thing is, it's like they are in the wrong. I mean, the stuff they were serving up when there's one point where he is like retching because the stuff he takes out of the freezer is like a
Fair, the chef and the head chef guy, he's as bad as the bloody
owner.
I mean, he is incredibly, in one way, derivative, isn't it, of like about 8 different previous formulae that you mentioned, including his own.
Yeah.
He's kind of ripping off his own formula.
Yeah,
but
I don't care.
Exactly.
I know, that's the fun.
It just works, isn't it?
It works because all those elements, they're all successful shows in their own right, so why not meld them all together? And then the glue to that is Gordon Ramsay, who... you know, yeah, Steph, he completely right. He does shout and he's like, you know, can be aggressive. And he's, but ultimately, he knows what he's talking about.
That's the thing. He's got the goods to back it up.
He's got the goods to back it up. Plus, he is authentic.
Yeah.
So that is how he is. You know, even in interviews, he is a joy to interview. But he does swear. He does shout because he feels passionate about, you know, what he's doing. Unlike, I was comparing this in my head. I was thinking, you know, a few weeks back, we reviewed Bear Grylls' show. And I was like, this is complete opposite of that.
That's so true.
Yes.
I just, like, he knows what he's talking about. He has, he is very shouty and screamy, but you kind of think, what can they say to him? Of course he's shouting at you, but everything he's saying is right and he doesn't hold back, and I love that.
The key again, in all these shows and all of these, you know, this is a reality formula in a way, an reality format, if you like, but it's the casting. And whoever researcher this Bella Gianni's restaurant...
Whichever researcher got food poisoning from this restaurant.
Exactly. It's so tragically awful. I mean, it is like... You know, it's like 40 Towers, you know, in a small town in New York.
They get like 10 people coming into a restaurant a week. It's something ridiculous, isn't it?
It looks horrendous before. And he does, you know, spoiler alert. I mean, of course, the whole point is, would he turn around or not? But just, you know, he can't not, even having 24 hours with these ludicrous people in this terrible, awful place, of course, he's going to have some effect. And it's to what extent he can solve this seemingly incredible situation. It is riveting.
To put it in context, basically, Vinny's own dad has sunk $1.2 million into this failing restaurant.
Cut him loose.
$1.2 million.
Yeah. And Vinny's own wife and daughter, and they're like, they're, you know, practically ruin their lives.
Yeah.
You know, almost ruin their lives. It is incredible, isn't it? I would never have, in a million years, if Kane hadn't picked this show to review in the book, I wouldn't have. I'm like another Gordon Ramsay.
Boyd, no, wait a minute. Boyd, are you trying to say thank you to me?
I'm launching a great tribute to
Kay
and Gordon Ramsay.
Kay is waving her hands in the air.
I don't think Gordon gets more kudos. But what I'm saying is I would not have bothered to watch another Gordon Ramsay factual formula.
I agree.
And it's brilliant hour of TV.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
riveting.
I can't give it.
I'm going
to give it 4.5.
Me too, 4.5.
Okay. I'm going to give it 4.5. It's no unforgotten.
Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back is on Channel 4 Thursday, the 19th of July at 10 o'clock, finally in the meet. Mark Kermode's Secrets of Cinema, which starts on BBC 4 next Tuesday, the 17th at 9 o'clock. This, Steph, give us the general gist of this programme.
Okay, so the lovely friend of Boyd's, Mark Kermode, who is obviously an incredible film critic, has got a major new series. It's 5 parts, and he's going to be talking about different genres of cinema in each of these. And the first one that he's talked about is rom-coms, but he's also going to do like science fiction, heist movies. Horror. He's going to do horror.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is an hour long, and he's basically taking you, it's kind of a historical look at cinema today, and then what we've learned from cinema of yesteryear.
Yeah.
So this one is rom-coms, and I don't want to initially be too harsh, but I just want to say to everyone out there, if you're expecting the greatest rom-com of all time to be featured in this, which, as we all know, is Sandra Bullock's While You Were Sleeping, you may be sorely disappointed.
Views may differ.
But other things that are talked about are greats like Annie Hall, Love Actually, Notting Hill. When Harry Met Sally. So there's lots of great things. And actually, what was really fascinating to me is that the comparisons that he draws with old cinema, old films that I would never have. You think there are new ideas, but actually there are no new ideas.
Yeah.
And he does Splash as well, which is great. Tom Hanks, amazing film. Look, it's absolutely wonderful. It's everything you'd want, apart from Sandra Bullock, about a man talking all about everything that he loves about cinema, and it's very entertaining. And the clips are fantastic. Loved it.
We are running out of time, so I'm going to quickly say, because we've got to vacate the studio, I think it's a brilliant analysis of how genres work, how film genres work. And so he does take very recent examples of rom-coms and classic ones and compares them, looks at the structural similarities, how they kind of reference each other. The clips are brilliantly chosen.
They are.
It's incredibly insightful. And so I'm not just saying that because I know him and he's one of the most incisive critics out there. Also, I want to particularly mention how he gives huge kudos to Annie Hall, Woody Allen's Annie Hall, and some people, considering what people think of Woody Allen now, would not do that. But you cannot deny that Annie Hall and many of his other films are absolute rom-com classics, and Punch Drunk Love, one of the greatest films of all time. Adam Sandler's brilliant, brilliant film that he mentions. So I was incredibly excited to see that. Kay?
I just think it's fascinating. And do you know what? I love watching someone who's so passionate about what they're talking about. So I think it's fantastic.
Good. Sorry, we've got to kind of wrap it up rather quicker.
And you made me feel nervous then.
Sorry, there's just a woman standing outside waving at me. Right. I mean, what can I do? Mark Kermode, Secrets of Cinemas, BBC Four, Tuesday the 17th of July at 9 o'clock. Watch it. Finally, it's...
No, what? Four stars. I'm going to give it four stars. Quickly. I'm giving it
four stars.
God, you're right. Right. It's all of a kerfuffle.
It's all falling to pieces.
It's time for question time.
Best Gordon ever.
Gordon the Gopher.
Mine was Gordon the Gopher.
I'll go
Gordon Ramsay. Gordon Ramsay, actually, yeah.
Flash Gordon.
Oh!
Gordon's alive. Yes.
That's very a good one.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. Flash Gordon. That was my version of the Queen Flash.
It was wonderful.
That is all we've got time for, I'm afraid. We've got to wrap it up. I've been Boyd Hill.
I've got a new ending. Goodbye from you.
Yeah, goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
We'll be back next week. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.